Today I want to share with you a manuscript written by one of the Federal Advocates. One of his workers. He'll touch on many things, but I think there are valuable lessons in it. There may not be a lot of scripture, but that's one of his plans, is not to use too much scripture. So you listen carefully, and if you want to interrupt, you may, although you may destroy the whole thought if you do. When men accept law as God and feel the oppression of its incessant demands, they most yearn for freedom. And who of us don't fall under joy? We want to be free from something. Every last one of us, and the devil knows it. And that's why his disciple is telling all of his cohorts about freedom. Freedom is the topic today we're going to be talking about. Freedom. When men sense law as compulsion, rather than simply as a stone marker set along the road on the point to Calvary, they desire the kind of freedom we want them to demand. A freedom that exists only in their imagination. A fleeting fantasy. The law revealed righteousness to all mankind. Law expresses righteousness in demanding terms. Thou shalt not is an absolute compelling force for me to say I shall do this. Human who looks at the enemy's law, in this case enemy is God, sense that compulsion and demand it places on them, they sense it immediately. And some of them immediately rebel and shout out, I want freedom. I want to be free from outside compulsions. I want to be free to do what I want to do, when I want to do it. This is the muddied meaning of freedom, the idea of freedom as freedom from. Freedom is always listed as freedom from something, not freedom to, freedom from. And we devils love freedom from. This isn't hard to understand. Even with ethics is involved, freedom is usually perceived as freedom from some outside compulsion. I want to break the bonds. I want to get away from something. The teenager wants freedom from his parents. You remember the prodigal son? I can't stand this old man and my older brother any longer. Let me get out of here. He got out, didn't he? He had his freedom and he loved it, didn't he? He and I had a heyday. He became a devil just like me. We really had fun until he ran out of fun. Then he started thinking about the real freedom and we lost it. The teenager wants freedom from rules so he can stay out as late as he wants to. Eat what he wants to, do what he wants to, say what he wants to, just be what he wants to. But you give him that and he really doesn't want it, does he? He just thought he wanted it. But while he was doing it, he was my disciple. I had him right under my finger. And God bless my father down below. We succeeded on him for the moment at least. Till somebody put their arm around him and brought him back. A person wants freedom from poverty and he imagines that if he had a $30,000 a year salary, he would be free from poverty. Baloney. The wise man said that every time you get an increase in salary, you get more people around your table to help you eat it up. And isn't that true? But I don't want you to know that. I want you to think and do anything you can to get more money, because more money means you can escape poverty. You can have anything you want. The most miserable man I've ever read about, Howard Hughes, who died a recluse, he must have just been terribly happy because he couldn't have known how much he was worth. Oh, he was a good disciple of ours, of us devils. The cripple wants the freedom from his wheelchair to be able to run and leap and dance. But if he got it, would he run and leap and dance? No. He'd growl and complain because he couldn't do it better. He's still my disciple. Whether he's sitting in a wheelchair or he's walking on both his good strong legs, he's a grumbler, and we love grumblers down below. Even politically, the word freedom refers to acts of government that citizens view as oppressive. They don't like to stop at stop signs. They don't like to keep within the limits of the law, and I have at least 3/4 of your congregation on that one. Freedom of the press means freedom from government. Freedom of the press, we love to be able to say what we want to say publicly, don't we? We love that. But they play right into our hands when they say, let me say what I want to say, but you keep your mouth shut. I don't want you saying what you want to say. They are our disciples. Freedom in human thinking seems to require a release from outside compulsion and an unrestricted opportunity to do as one very well pleases. That's our definition of freedom. And it suits us devils perfectly. We love that kind of talk, because we ought to encourage this notion in everybody. Get away from it. Apply it in almost any field, especially in morality. I love freedom when it comes to morality. What you do does not concern me. It's none of my business, Tom. If you want to go to hell in a handbasket, go ahead. It's none of my business. If my children want to drink liquor, it's none of thy business. They have to make up their minds for themselves. I had a parent tell me just a few days ago, I never try to influence my children what they ought to think religiously. When they grow up, they can decide that. Can you imagine what the decision would be? I know they're going to be my disciples, because I breed on ignorance. I love ignorance. And if they don't teach them anything, I've got them already. If they'll let me have them the first 7 years, they're mine. Don't need to worry about them. They're mine. We've done some excellent work in freedom of morality. All of us devils have. We've gotten humans to apply the word liberated to someone who commits a whole string of adulteries. He's just doing what comes naturally. He couldn't help it. The poor soul was raised in a home where they weren't moral. The poor soul was never taught the right from wrong. The poor soul doesn't know that if you lay an egg in somebody else's nest and they hatch it and they raise your bird, that's the easy way of doing it. They are liberated. Oh, I wish I could be like them. I am like them. I'm a devil. I'm just like them. What a time they have. Eat, drink, and be merry. And lay as many eggs as you can. Somebody else will support them. We've been very successful even in persuading Christians to do this. And I use the word Christian advisedly. To enjoy talking about it even. Why, do you know, just the other day I heard old Brother John. He's a big, strapping man. About 18 years old, and he was telling about all his escapades with the women. How many women he went out with last week and how many he conquered. And Sunday morning he was sitting up waiting on the Lord's table. Oh, I love people like that. They're the best salesmen we've got. He made the charts last month and he'll knock the top off of them this month. He tells tales of his fornication and his corruption, even in the church he does it. He gets the other young men off in the corner and he tells them, why do you want to be such a stuffed shirt? Why don't you be liberated a little bit? Do some things you want to do. And I say, that's right, buddy, that's right. Keep it going, boy, let's keep going. You're on the right track. The enemy has commanded that those things not be once named among us, but that doesn't really make any difference to him. He doesn't think he's listening. The modern man and woman praise such people because they're free from their hang-ups of the old-fashioned morality code. I don't think the old-fashioned morality code was so hot either. Because we did things under those long skirts, the same things that they did under the short skirts today. We just didn't talk about it. It's really more clever the way they used to do it. For example, in my wife's graduating class, if I remember correctly, at least a half a dozen of the girls were pregnant before they had the advantage of marriage. It isn't any different today than it was yesterday. Because us evil men and us seducers are getting worse and worse, doesn't mean that there are less people falling for it. The majority of the psychiatrists today advise the imprisoned minds to go out and do whatever feels good. I know a young man that was advised this way. He had never done anything in his life intentionally, to my knowledge, that was wrong. As a matter of fact, he was about to lose his mind because he was stuffing ammunition in shelves during the war. That upset him very much. He went to a modern psychologist. He says, you need to release yourself and do some of these things that would bring you satisfaction to your own self. You need to go hog wild once. He did, and blew his head off. I'm not condemning psychology, but some of those psychologists are our best friends, us devils' best friends. Because they say, don't listen to God. Listen to what we've learned. We're a lot smarter than God. Some of our best agents are those who work on the minds of our prospects. And they save us a lot of legwork. America in general, and sophisticated religious in particular, have applied the same term to gay liberation. Don't you think the gays ought to be liberated? They're on my side. I like gay people. Because they confuse.
Because I don't think it's true. But that's just what the devil wants me to think. But it can't be me. Surely not me.
Jesus says to the 12 apostles, one of you shall betray me. How many of them said, is it I? Every last one of them. If you think it can't be you, you're mistaken. It can be you, can it? The devil wants you too. Jesus told Peter, the devil desires to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Why would you sift wheat? See if there's any good wheat in there. Get out the chaff. Does the devil want you to sift you like wheat? You'd better believe it. He's sifting every last one of you right now. Do you know it? Are you aware of it? That's the purpose of this class, or don't you believe the devil really exists? He doesn't want you to think so. Don't you think that you can be his prey? He doesn't want you to think so. He wants you to think you're immune, that you got vaccinated when you were baptized. Time's up. How we look upon and respond to those less fortunate. Don't have the right clothes. We don't have the right class. Not as good a job as I have. Boy, that's one of my favorite ways of getting into a congregation, is to getting them to pair themselves among themselves. And it won't be long till I can split the haves from the have-nots. I can split the smart from the dumb ones. I can split the rich from the poor. And they're all in my camp. We stand a good chance of not winning 50% for our side. But if skillfully conducted, we can't get the other 50% to forget that they're real people.